And this is very important, Brother Tim, because this is one of the wonderful things that the Apostle Paul uses in the Epistle to the Romans, for example. In Romans chapter 1, maybe verse 4, he is marked as the Son of God by resurrection from among the dead. Mm. Who is the Son of God? Resurrection proved the sonship, the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus. Before he could come in chapter 4 of Romans and says that he was raised for our justification. Well, he was raised to prove that God is mighty in his power in raising the Lord Jesus to give him that seal. Man put the seal on the tomb. They wanted him dead. But God said, absolutely not. He has the last word.
Could we move on to that as in Adam? And as in Christ, can we just get some help in there?
Hey, Emil, before we do that, I have a question.
Yes.
Is it because of the power of resurrection that the bodies of the saints rose from the grave when Christ was resurrected? Was that just a manifestation of the power of resurrection? It was a sign. Why would God do that?
As he is risen, we are linked with him. He is the first fruits. That means the harvest will have the same thing again. The first fruit bear the character, the nature, and the resembling of the rest of the fruit. So that's why, because we are associated with him, we were associated with him in his death, we will also share in his resurrection.
I would like to touch a little bit to your question, because I think it is a display. Are you talking when the saints were risen? In his death.
The crucifixion.
When they raised, I think it goes back to the early part, the death have surrendered, believe it or not. In the act of the death of Christ, and when he died, the saints were, yes, there's a display of the power of resurrection, but also there is the message that death had surrendered. He had to give up not only the one who had power over him that he trembled against, but he surrendered in relationship to those that belonged to Christ because they were saints. And this is why we have it, the power of resurrection, but also death surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in death as well.
The graves were opened at his death.
Yes.
But after his resurrection, they went, isn't it? Then they went and appeared.
He must be first.
And you compare that with Elisha. If you remember Elijah and Elisha, right? Elijah raised one from the dead. Elisha raised one from the dead. But Elisha also, his bones, when he was buried, were used to raise one from the dead. Now, when the Lord Jesus came, we have recorded in Scripture, he raised three from the dead. He's greater than Elijah and Elisha. And in his death and resurrection, many were raised. So there's a comparison between the Lord and these two prophets. The power of God shown at this moment. Later on, Peter raises only one. Paul raises only one. The Lord Jesus is supreme even in this issue of the sign.
Brother Tim brought us in a very quick way into Leviticus 23, where that first bundle, the sheep, that is waved before the Lord. And I think that does have a wonderful application there, dear brother, where the Lord Jesus is first fruit, but it had to be a bundle that is waved. With one difference, that those that were raised died again. The Lord Jesus was raised up there never to die again.
I would like, if possible, to bring that thought in the next study, bearing the heavenly, because there's something that is nice and common. But the thought behind it, Adam and Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
The only thing that I want to bring in Leviticus 23 is that when you enter into the land, no more wilderness. So the thing that I want to compare in Adam is the sin of wilderness. It is all what the wilderness can bring is death. This is why when we speak about resurrection, dear brother, it's a new ground. It is not the same ground as the Passover and the unleavened bread, as far as the feast is concerned. But when we come to the first fruit, it's when you enter into the land. Because all what you see in the wilderness is in Adam. And the result of Adam, all die. But in Christ. And that's where you want to bring us in. And brethren, there's 5 minutes. And we're going to finish at 12. So let's apply discipline. And why don't you bring us into them, Emil,
Keep on.
I said what I had to say, so move on.
So what we have before us here is really the two heads. You have in Adam, all of he is the head of a creation. All of those who are associating with him, he brought death on. Now you have another head. And that head is Christ. And all of those who are associated with him are will be made alive or will receive that life. But again, there is order. There is order. There is rank. Christ, the first fruit. And then those who are of Christ at his coming. And I don't want us to lose the last part, because here is the wonderful truth of the resurrection. I think the apostle kind of like stopped his argument because he got caught up with such the greatness of what will take place in there. And he goes on to speak about, he takes us even to the eternal city. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have something to say.
Yeah, I'm just wondering though if this is not further extensive than just simply the believer here. And this is why I'm saying this. As in Adam, all die. Both the unbeliever and the believer die in Adam. That's the sentence upon us, the entire race. But in Christ, there is life for both the believer and the unbeliever. Meaning from this, the unbeliever is going to come back up to face Christ in eternal judgment. He has to come back to life. And it is the same power in Christ that is going to do that. So I don't believe it's just simply our life as believers in Christ. I believe that what he has in view here is Adam, the head of a race that brought death. Christ, the head of a new creation, brings life. He's going to bring the unbeliever back to life as well, so that he faces him in judgment.
Now, that's the beauty of the Bible study.
Let's notice verse 20 again. He became the first fruits of them that slept. Who are those? Not those who were dead. First fruits of those that slept. Those are believers that are asleep. And so the first, when it brings in the two headships, it confines it to those, as he says, in Christ. Those that are Christ's at his coming. Or, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This I do not believe refers to unbelievers. This is the result of Christ having gone into death, the work that he accomplished.
David, just let me interject here for a second, and then we need to. And that's the beauty about the Bible reading, is that we could exchange thoughts. It's really the fact that I saw the dead standing. It doesn't say I saw the dead living. They are standing. I don't know how, but life is only in connection with Christ. Those who are, they will be brought back to existence, but I could not call that they are brought back to life.
Second death.
Yeah, they are brought back to existence, but the matter of life is only associated with Christ. But we will discuss that later on. Let's just very quickly look at what is going to take place.
Maybe if I may suggest, you want to bring that thought in the second reading, because we're over the time already.
Got it.
So in the second reading we can, if you want to bring a couple of thoughts like this, a brother that would give thanks, praise, and closes, please give thanks for the meal, because we will have a couple of minutes of making announcements.